And it's a big hour number three. We thank you so much for being here with us, Jason Herbert Walker Ross. I am Damian Barling. We thank you so much. Herbert Walker, I just made that up, by the way.
No, that is, that's accurate.
I just know it's an H. I actually have no idea what your middle name is.
It's Herbert Walker.
I think it works for me. I like it.
I had someone call me that the other day. I'm like, oh, okay, you were listening to the show. Cool, thank you.
I like it.
Yeah.
And is George W., is it Walker? Is that what the W stands for with George W. Bush?
I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming that that's what the W stood for, if the HW stood for Herbert Walker. We got Sac State tickets to give away here this hour. Kara Lawson, the play-by-play analyst for the Washington Wizards and former host of House Party Live with Jim Cosimore, will be with us at 2:30. However,
superstar,
the host of the nationally syndicated Fantasy Football Hour and our Denver Broncos correspondent, Nate Lundy, with us here. Nate, before we get to the fantasy aspect, let's stick with the Denver Broncos stuff. You got our Oakland Raiders this weekend, and both teams are coming off some pretty ugly Week 3 performances.
Yeah, they're both coming off of bad performances. We know that, but I got to be honest with you, Derek Carr's was a lot worse, so give me the Broncos.
Shots fired.
Wow. Well, there's no – it's not like we can argue that.
God. Yeah.
Guys, that was – yeah, that was ugly. I mean, that was the Redskins. That was – I mean, come on. I mean, Buffalo at least had a highly rated defense going into that game. I mean, come on, it's the Washington Redskins, for crying out loud. That was terrible.
Yeah, and I'm sure – I mean, again, we're going to keep it more related at least now to on the field with these two teams. But just to backtrack to fantasy, I bet people – Raider fans were probably reaching out to you and saying, Nate, what happened to my guys? Because I would – there would never be a scenario for me where I wouldn't play Raiders in fantasy. And then that offense between the line, between Carr, Cooper, Crabtree, Lynch – nobody did anything of substance at all offensively for the Raiders.
No, not at all. And, you know, I'm going to say something that I know is not going to be popular for you guys there, and especially for the Raiders fans, but I'm still trying to figure out when exactly somebody decided that Amari Cooper was quote-unquote elite, because he's been drafted like an elite wide receiver, and he's ranked right now, I think, wide receiver 87. I mean, Michael Crabtree is a better wide receiver than Amari Cooper is. Amari Cooper drops the ball, and until he stops dropping the ball, he's not a fantasy option. And I don't understand why people have overpaid and overdrafted for him. It baffles me. I think they just believe that Derek Carr can somehow make him better, but unless Derek Carr is putting double-sided duct tape on his hands, it's not going to do any good. And I keep waiting to see somebody associated with the Raiders to call him out on that, because he's got everything you would think would make a good wide receiver. But from a fantasy perspective, I know so many people that talk about how much of a bust he is from a fantasy perspective. And when you look at those kinds of numbers, it's hard to argue.
I want to be mad at Nate for everything he just said, but I'm the guy that did take Amari too early, probably in multiple leagues. So the truth hurts sometimes.
He's making Jared Cook look good, okay? I mean,
damn.
Wow.
All right, well, thanks, Nate. See you next week. My gosh, man. Anyone else you want to crap on before we move on?
You know, I tend to have a few people we can. I can tell you right now, here, I'll throw one at you that has been unpopular that I brought up on the television show this week, and that is, if you are in a shallow league, and by that I mean you're in maybe 10 teams and you don't have a really deep bench – and therefore there's a lot of guys available on the waiver wire. If you tweeted at me and told me you were going to drop Cam Newton, I wouldn't argue with you.
I don't think that doesn't feel hot given how, I mean, he stinks.
Well, but why?
It's not just that. It's not so much that I'm trying to do it as a hot take. It's that I have had people that are just convinced that he's eventually going to come around, And I'm just not seeing it. I'm not reading it in any reports that are coming out of Charlotte. I mean, he is not right, and he doesn't show any signs of getting right. I mean, he had some passes last week. You're taking on the Saints, for crying out loud, who can't – I mean, they can't stop anybody. And you're taking on a Saints defense that has just been thrashed by everybody, and he was airmailing passes. I mean, not just, like, missing guys by, like, a yard, but, I mean, like, throwing them, you know, 3 feet over some guy's head. And, you know, when you've got some big receiving targets out there, it's hard to throw it over some of those guys' heads, and yet he was doing it.
Well, outside of the Broncos and Raiders, by the way, I am not looking forward to next Thursday if the Broncos beat the Raiders. This will not be a fun start to the conversation
yes.
if the Broncos win. Let's shift now, Nate, to fantasy here. And you're really big into matchups. What matchups do you have your eye on this week in terms of teams?
Well, I think that, again, one of the places I always start is I start off looking at the over-unders in Vegas. And, you know, if you look at the games, any game that's at 48 or higher, right now there's not anything that's over 50. That's usually my magic number. Right now we've got some that sit at 48 and 49. I think you got to look at the matchup between New Orleans and Miami. You know, as bad as Miami has looked, there's been some bright spots in there. I do think that it'll eventually click, not necessarily huge numbers, but it'll eventually click for Jay Cutler. That's going to be a benefit for a guy like Kenny Stills, by the way, who's had a ton of targets here in the last couple of weeks as Miami has gotten started. You see 49 as over under on that game. You see it on the Washington-Kansas City game. Then you see between Carolina and New England, as well as Buffalo and Atlanta. So you've got some games that are expected to have scoring. That's always where I wind up starting. And then from there, you can start to dig around with some matchups. You can start to find guys that maybe can take advantage of matchups that look that don't just look good, say, in an over-under or where the scoring's expected, but you know, there are matchups that I like, frankly. I mean, I know I sound like a homer, but I, you know, the numbers are there. The matchup for the Broncos against the Raiders right now is good. The Raiders are giving up 112 quarterback rating to opposing quarterbacks right now, 112. I mean, Trevor Siemian's no world beater, but if you're going to give up 112 passer rating to somebody, you got to think that he can complete some passes to guys like Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. That's a matchup that I like. On paper, and then obviously I like the ones where we're expecting a lot of scoring. I think it could get really interesting, frankly, between Buffalo and Atlanta. I expect a lot of scoring there.
Nate, you brought up that Saints-Dolphins game. That also goes, you know, doing this with you for the last year plus, you don't trust those London games. So that's that high over-under, but it's also in London. Are you still going to attack that game or still have that distrust of those games?
Yeah, because I think what's going to wind up happening here, like you look at last week, and you're right, I don't trust the London games, but this one's slightly different for me because of this. Last week you had two teams, both of which were known for defense. Baltimore apparently forgot how to play it, but Jacksonville did not. Now you look at the game this weekend where neither one of these teams is really known for their defense. And so I think this could be one where suddenly we give everybody across the pond a pretty good show with just a lot of scoring and maybe very little defense. So it would not surprise me at all for this to be a game that finishes like, you know, 35 to 28, that kind of thing, with a lot of scoring on the board.
Nate Lundy, our fantasy football expert and host of the Fantasy Football Hour, with us here on the Lowdown, as we always do. Nate, I'm going to try to take some of these text questions here and consolidate them a little bit. So if you text the question and listen closely, because your answer is going to be hidden somewhere in here. The Cowboys and the Rams this week. Rams have put up 40-plus twice. Cowboys haven't had a spectacular two-week stretch. What do you think of that game and the potential fantasy aspect to that one?
Well, I think you got to keep an eye on, obviously, Todd Gurley is off to a hell of a start for the Rams. I think you got to pay attention to that. You know, Sammy Watkins, frankly, has surprised me, although he does this to me every year. And then right when I start to believe in him, he gets hurt. So, you know, truthfully, as we said on the show, if Sammy Watkins plays all 16 games, then maybe Joe Flacco really is elite. That's how much of a long shot I think it is for Sammy to play an entire season. All the way through. So, you know, I think right now you kind of got to ride Watkins as best that you can. And then for Dallas, you know, you're going up against a Rams team. This is a Wade Phillips-led defense. And this is what, if you look historically at what happens, whenever Wade goes and takes over a defense, at the very least, year one is always really good. He had that happen to him when he handled the players that he had in Denver. He's done it before with Houston. He's just a guy that tends to put together good defenses, and he's doing that with the Rams. I think Dallas wins this game and probably wins it by a touchdown, if not more. But I do think that the Rams make it interesting.
One other spot of that with Goff, if he's on your team, you probably didn't start him, draft him to be your starter, but he's been pretty good. Would he take over in a starting spot in any of your fantasy teams, or just depend what your other options are?
Yeah, it's always going to depend on what the other options are. It's also going to depend, guys. We've been seeing the trend, and I'm sure some of the listeners are in this. We've been seeing the trend of of leagues going to the two quarterback thing, like a starting quarterback and then a what we sometimes call a super flex, where it's basically anybody can go in that flex spot, and usually it winds up being a quarterback. I think there's a lot of situations now where Goff can be that second guy for you, where maybe you drafted him late and people were laughing at you, oh, I can't believe you wasted a pick on that guy. Well, it's nice to have some depth. I think we could see him there, but in terms of like a ranker this weekend, I've got him down close to number 20 if memory serves. And so, you know, he's not cracking my lineup unless I'm in a two quarterback league right now.
Should T.Y. Hilton be a fantasy starter at this point?
No. I don't trust the Colts. I don't think that's a big shocker. I just don't think that they can do much. And I think T.Y. Hilton is unfortunately an example of a guy that is incredibly talented, but is at a dependent position, and he doesn't have any help right now under center to make him anything consistent. I mean, I can say that, and he might go out ultimately this weekend and wind up putting up some big numbers, and I'm sitting back scratching my head. But if he does that, it's going to be a fluke. Because not only is this a game on the road against Seattle, it's a game that has an over-under of 41 and a game where Seattle is favored by 2 touchdowns. So this just doesn't add up to the right thing for T.Y. Hilton. I don't think you can drop him because the problem is he's not worth anything. So you can't really afford to drop him. You also can't really afford to trade him because nobody's going to give you anything for him. He is stuck right now in fantasy purgatory, and you've got to be hoping as an owner that these reports about Andrew Luck maybe practicing, maybe starting to get in there, and maybe we see him over the course of the next couple of weeks comes true, because otherwise Hilton's a waste.
Nate, we know the Chiefs offense has been one of the better offenses so far this season, early part of the season, and Hunt should be played if you've got him. But after that, are you all in on other guys, Alex Smith and receiving weapons at all for Kansas City?
Well, obviously Tyreek Hill's a big deal because, you know, he is one of these guys that they work really hard, get the ball in his hands, and then just wait to see what happens. You know, there's several players that have been like that. I think back to a guy like Darren Sproles when he first kind of splashed on the scene, that it was really for every team that he ever played for, it was all about just get the ball in his hands and wait to see what happens. And Tyreek Hill plays the same way for me when it comes to a wide receiver. Alex Smith has become a guy that it's kind of hard to argue with right now. I mean, sometimes you the same way that I talk about how we're just waiting for Sammy Watkins to get hurt, I think sometimes a guy like Alex Smith, guys are sitting back going, oh, okay, well, eventually he's going to fall apart. Oh, well, eventually he's going to fall apart. Oh, well, eventually he's going to be a game manager and he's only going to get me 160 yards. Well, so far here in the first 3 weeks, he's looked to me like a guy that belongs in your starting lineup. And then you already brought up Kareem Hunt, who, you know, was the AFC Offensive Player of the Month. Not just the Rookie of the Month, but the Player of the Month for the month of September, and rightfully so. He has looked spectacular.
You know, we were just talking about T.Y. Hilton, Nate, and you're talking about starters who should and shouldn't be a starter. What do you do if you have on your fantasy roster like an Andy Dalton or an A.J. Green, a team that can't get itself together?
Yeah, and what's scary is you look at that game last weekend, and there we were watching the fact that, you know, early on the Bengals were up 21-7. And so not only as a Bengals fan might you have been thinking good thoughts, but if you were a Dalton owner or an A.J. Green owner or Gio Bernard or any of the rest of them, you start feeling pretty good. And then, you know, here comes doing what Aaron Rodgers does. I feel a little bit more confident in A.J. Green occupying a spot on my roster right now than Andy Dalton, because, you know, Green is a guy that, you know, he's going to get his. He's going to get his numbers. But Andy Dalton, the problem is he's going to get you some numbers because obviously he's the one throwing it, but he's also going to make the mistakes, and that's what hurts you. You know, you're cruising along now. All of a sudden you got -2, -3 points on your ledger because he throws a pick. So the Red Rocket scares me a little bit. Matchups he may be able to take advantage of. Obviously this weekend going up against Cleveland, that's a matchup that could be favorable for him to look good again. I feel better about A.J. Green, Andy Dalton. Every time I want to believe in him, he gives me a reason not to.
Nate got this one directly from Twitter, where they're asking for a specific start. They're looking for two running backs here, and I guess they have Lynch, Murray from Tennessee, Smallwood from Philadelphia, and then Thompson, who's been great so far for Washington. But if it's Thompson, Lynch, Murray, Smallwood, what two would you start there?
Oh, boy. I tell you what, I want to see Thompson is just so tempting. I think he's such a great flex play. I would tell you that for that person, if they've got the flex spot, Lynch is the one that sits for me out of that bunch. The Broncos run defense has looked pretty good. And the injury to Darren Sproles, What I think is going to wind up happening in Philadelphia is that LeGarrette Blount's going to be the guy inside the 20s. He's going to be your, you know, we do our throwback to Jerome Bettis kind of thing, where he never carried the ball between the 20s, but then once you got down to the goal line, he was the guy that was in charge of getting it over the plane. I think that's what LeGarrette Blount is going to be, and Smallwood is going to be the guy between the 20s for them, which means you got to hope that Wendell breaks one and gets you a touchdown that way. But otherwise, he may be a guy that adds up a lot of total yards between catching and running it, but you may lose out on the touchdowns to LeGarrette Blount. So if you put Smallwood in the lineup, just be ready for that. Manage your expectations and know that he may not find the end zone, but he might still get you 11, 12, 13 points because of his total yards, and then you just cross your fingers that he also gets into the end zone and LeGarrette Blount doesn't take it from him. Chris Thompson, we've seen the fact that, I think he's averaging like 13 yards a touch or something like that. Jay Gruden was asked whether he was going to give him more touches, and he said no, which to me is just asinine. I mean, what a stupid decision to make when you've got a guy that is that spectacular. So maybe it's a little bit of gamesmanship by Gruden, but if I'm the Redskins, if I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm looking at Gruden going, let me give him the ball because look at what he's doing when he's got it. So Thompson intrigues me. Smallwood intrigues me most definitely. Lynch does in general, just not necessarily this weekend.
The 49ers put up 39 last Thursday. Worth paying attention to?
Yeah, I think you kind of have to. Brian Hoyer and that whole offense and just whatever is happening with them as a team, every time I look at them, I want to doubt them and I want to say, well, you know, nah, I can't really. And then, you know, sure enough, they managed to go out and surprise me. Look, there's some talent on that team. And garbage points count the same in fantasy, whether your team wins or loses. And so, you know, are there some guys that are going to intrigue you? Sure there are. There's guys like Pierre Garçon that are going to intrigue you because I think that guy's been incredibly underrated for his whole career. So, you know, on occasion, yes. Something you can rely on? Probably not. It's probably something where you're trying to, you know, maybe do a bit of a stretch for a flex play, or maybe you need a third wide receiver that you think has upside. I think that's probably the case because I don't think you can rely on them week in and week out yet. I think Shanahan and John Lynch still have their work cut out for them to get that team right, but they're obviously putting it in the right direction because I thought I was living in an alternate universe when I saw them score over 20 points, let alone 30.
How about when you get in a situation like Arizona's in where their best runner, by far top fantasy pick, is out, and Nate, they're almost forced to throw Carson Palmer 35, 40, 45, 50 times a game. It's so lopsided, but kind of like you said, the fantasy points – still work the same if you're getting at the end or at the beginning. Is someone like that, where they're so pass happy, even worth it or too much of a risk? Yeah. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I mean, first of all, if you were paying attention last year, you saw Carson Palmer was already showing his age last year. And I think ultimately that Cardinals fans are going to look back on a few months ago when Kansas City leapfrogged them in the draft and took Patrick Mahomes. I think Cardinals fans are going to look back and wish that their team had been aggressive to make sure that that didn't happen to them because Carson Palmer is fading. But here's two things that happen. One, you just brought it up. You've got no David Johnson, which means you've got to throw the ball. And two, if you're Carson Palmer, you're aging. You are literally melting in front of everyone's eyes like the characters in Raiders of the Lost Ark, okay? Your final moment is going to be one move and one move only, and that is to throw the ball to Larry Fitzgerald. So I would say that Carson Palmer scares the crap out of me, but I am buying stock in Larry Fitzgerald because that guy is an Iron Man. He catches everything that is ever thrown his way. And if Carson Palmer is going to be slinging it around the field 45 times because they're down, Larry Fitzgerald is going to be the beneficiary of that. He has 34 targets in the first 3 weeks, including 15 targets last week. So, yeah, I am buying stock in Larry Fitzgerald, even though I'm not buying it in Carson Palmer or the Cardinals.
Well, it's not even being down, Nate. It's they don't have anyone who can competently run the ball.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's frightening for them. I'm actually surprised that they haven't tried to trade for a backup from somebody or something to see if they could be able to bolster their running back core, because you're right, they are in trouble. I mean, you know, there was this thought of, you know, maybe Kerwin Williams does something. Even I thought Kerwin Williams had the potential to do something, and he's been an absolute flame out. Andre Ellington is there for him, and if they could find ways to utilize him offensively, I think that could be good. But, you know, none of them are that true just strength runner that David Johnson was. They are missing him immensely. There's a reason that DJ was the number one overall pick in almost everybody's draft.
All right, Nate, so we started with Raiders-Broncos.
He was the number two in ours, just for the record, which wound up in my roster, but whatever.
Yeah. What do you got? What's the score? What's your prediction then for Raiders Broncos this weekend?
See, you put me on the spot. Here I am.
You've already shots fired.
Yeah, you've already crapped on half the roster, Nate. Come on.
I think the Broncos win by double digits.
Oh, there you go. We just needed to let him know that the was already thrown out there, so he just swung away.
Yeah, no, I think they do, because I just believe that the Broncos just play better at home. I mean, I was worried about last week's game just because it was the West Coast to East Coast kind of thing. Same kind of thing the Raiders were up against going against the Redskins. I just think teams that come from the West Coast or even the Mountain Time Zone, when they have to go play in the East and you're at 11 o'clock and it's just, you're not, as a player, you're just not in your normal routine. And I've talked to guys that, played for Denver and played for other teams on the West Coast, and they've said the same thing. They said, it's not as big of a deal as you might want to make it into, but that they notice it. I mean, it's a different routine. And so, I didn't expect the Broncos to lose to Buffalo, but I also didn't think it was going to be a cakewalk the way others did. So, I think they are going to play better coming back home. The Broncos also have their bye week after this, which means they know they've got a break coming. And so, to me, I think they're going to come out. They're going to play hard. I think the no-fly zone got embarrassed a little bit at Buffalo, and I think they've got something to prove. And so I do think that they play well, and I think they find a way to slow down and maybe even shut down Derek Carr, and the DC winds up with a couple of bad games in a row.
I think they were getting Tyrod Taylor's contract extension ready after that game last week.
I always laugh because Tyrod was here on the Broncos through one training camp, and they just didn't have any room for him, and they had to let him go. Could have had Tyrod Taylor instead of Trevor Siemian, for crying out loud.
Do you buy into Tyrod Taylor? Not fantasy-wise, just as a quarterback.
No, I haven't seen it enough yet. I see it in flashes, but I haven't seen it consistently enough. And that, to me, is the key to any quarterback. Is you can gradually get better as you go through your career. You guys know this, but you got to be able to consistently see it, because I think that is what the coaches have to work off of. The coaches have to say, okay, he's consistently doing X, and so we need to work on that. And that's what I think is missing from Tyrod. Is I think sometimes I'm not sure knows exactly where to embrace him and try to coach him.
At Nate Lundy on Twitter for all your fantasy questions that weren't answered today. And, of course, the nationally syndicated Fantasy Football Hour. Nate, we appreciate you as always, my man.
You guys are sexy as hell. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Boy, he just laid
double
out.
Double digits.
Man, laid out. That's how much respect the Raiders are getting heading into Denver.
Yeah. We'll remember that.
I don't think he was kidding either.
Oh, he wasn't. He wasn't.
I mean, we baited him into it, but I don't think he was kidding.
He won't back down from it if he's right next week or wrong.
I hate fantasy football.
Yeah.
That's
why you're playing again and
I
next
had
year too.
To. I'm not playing next
yes,
year.
Yes, you are.
Unless
you have time to think about it.
I audibly popped when Larry Fitzgerald caught a touchdown pass against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Because that meant that I won the stupid fantasy football game. Cowboys were down 14-7.
Yeah, but your team ended up winning both of them. So how about that? It was a good day for you.
Well, it ultimately turned out okay.
Yeah, best
I'm
of both
saying.
Worlds.
Kara Lawson, you know her. She was a former member of the Sacramento Monarchs, hosted House Party Live with Jim Cosimore. She not only covers the NBA for that four-letter network, she is also the play-by-play analyst for the Washington Wizards. She joins us next here on The Lowdown. Time to get your UC Davis Aggie football tickets. They host North Dakota, same team the last six times I've read it, but every time I say North Dakota, it's a surprise to me. They host North Dakota at Aggie Stadium this Saturday at 6 p.m. Go to UCDavisAggies.com. I just can't express how difficult it is to talk sometimes.
It is. That's what we do, but sometimes it's difficult.
The English language is a son of a gun.
It's one way to put it.
It absolutely is. Kara Lawson, she is the Washington Wizards analyst. She got that job yesterday. She's going to join us here in just a heartbeat. And with all the negative things going on in sports, Jay Ross and I are going to spend a few minutes before we get out of here talking about some of the good things.
There are some.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, I like that.
And this is actually one of the great things as we bring in a former host of House Party Live, former member of the Sacramento Monarchs, Kara Lawson. She is the new analyst for the Washington Wizards. Of course, she also covers the NBA for that dreaded four-letter network. I'm just kidding. She covers it for ESPN. Kara, congratulations on the new job. What's the coolest text? What's the coolest congratulatory text that you've gotten besides the one from me?
Probably Ric Flair, The Undertaker.
Okay.
All what? Right.
All right.
Seriously?
No. 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 That did not happen.
I'm so, believing Kara.
No. Okay. All right. So there's a story behind that.
Okay.
She once asked me. That's not funny.
I think it is. She's enjoying it.
She wants, like I had said, there are two wrestlers I always wanted to meet.
Yeah.
Ric Flair and The Undertaker. Uh-huh. I swear to you, 3 days later, Ric Flair shows up at the ESPN studio,
mm-hmm.
and I get a picture of him and Kara arm in arm.
Okay.
And then, of course, a week later, she goes, oh, The Undertaker showed up at the studio today, but he didn't want any pictures taken.
Uh-huh.
So her running gag is that her and The Undertaker are BFFs.
I still believe you, Kara. I think it happened.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason.
You would, Jason.
Appreciate it.
You're such a turncoat. Yeah. You're such a turncoat.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot. I would probably say Adam Silver, actually, texted me last night. Yeah.
Well, that was kind of the one I thought was going to be a no-brainer, but the fact that you had to think about it makes me wonder, like, who else texted you? But I guess it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and what's great, too, Kara, is that, like Damian's explaining, you're going to be able to still do all the other things, right, that you love. I think that's you'll still have college basketball ties, you'll still and the men and women, you'll still have ties, obviously, to the NBA now. So that's pretty cool that all elements are still in play.
Yeah, I've covered so many levels of basketball since I started that a big part of this was wanting to keep doing that and fortunately for me, which doesn't always happen in this business, so I'm very grateful to both entities, both ESPN and Comcast, for allowing me to do it. But yeah, I'll be able to maintain a lot of what I've been doing this whole time. But it'll be more of a truncated version on the ESPN side, because obviously adding an NBA local schedule is a lot more intensive and covers many more dates than I have been working previously. So I'll still be a part of college basketball. Because I know a lot of people have reached out to me and it's like, hey, does this mean you're leaving? Even people I work with, because they don't really know all the details. They're like, so are we still working together this year? And now I'll still be able to maintain all those relationships and friendships that I have at ESPN, which is great, and then make some new ones with the Wizards.
The Wizards, you covered the Wizards last year. You were on the radio for the Celtics and the Wizards game. The Celtics have made a lot of noise this offseason. The Cleveland Cavaliers have made a lot of noise this offseason. Washington, not so much. Where do they fit there in the Eastern Conference now?
I think most people would say that Cleveland and Boston are the two favorites leading into the Eastern Conference. I would be one of those people just on paper with the talent that they have. Certainly Cleveland with their experience and their depth. And their talent, and then Boston, while they do have some very young pieces, they've got some guys that are really, really good, and Kyrie and Gordon and Al, and so those two teams to me are still the favorites entering this season. I think Washington is the third best team in the conference, and I think they do have an opportunity to potentially get to a conference finals. That would probably mean having to beat one of those two teams, but I mean, a season ago they were one game away from doing that, going to game seven in the conference semifinals. So this is a big year for this team, having everybody back, every significant piece back, and having something that a lot of teams don't have in the NBA anymore, which is continuity going into a training camp. So these guys are they all work incredibly hard, and we've seen such improvement from their main pieces, and their improvement's going to have to come from within, because they didn't go out and get a bunch of people in free agency. They kind of stuck with their core and re-signed their guys, and this is the group that they're going to go with.
Well, Kara, one of those pieces that Damian and I talk about a lot that I'm not only a big fan of, but I think he's ready to make even another greater jump is John Wall. He's been an all-star. He's been a good player, but I think he's ready to be in that MVP-type conversation if he can have the kind of year statistically and the wins that we're talking about. Where do you think John Wall is at in his career right now?
Yeah, John, I agree with you. I think John's a superstar, and And, you know, a lot of those accolades come, individual accolades come when you experience great team success at some point in your career. And that's what I know he's focused on and wants to really lead his team deep into the playoffs. I think hopefully more people, I mean, those of us that love basketball around the country, and there's a lot of those type of people in Sacramento, know John Wall and know how good he is. But he's not quite the first guy, you know, off your tongue when you ask about point guards. Most people will talk about Steph, and we'll talk about Russell, and we'll talk about Harden, and we'll talk about Kyrie, and we'll talk about even IT before they get to a guy like John Wall. And so I do think that this is a big year for him to kind of assert himself into that group of the MVP type candidate, right? That super elite player. And he has the ability to do that. He's a terrific player and has the ability to impact the game in so many ways. So this is a big year for him, and I'm thrilled that I'm going to get a front row seat every night to watch these guys play, because between him and Bradley Beal and Otto Porter, they're just a great group of players that really want to advance deep in the playoffs and be a part of a winning team.
Carol Lawson, the analyst for the Washington Wizards, with us here on The Lowdown. For those curious, the Washington Wizards will be at the Golden 1 Center on October 29th. It'll be your first chance to see the new building here in Sacramento. Obviously, you work in the NBA. You're an avid NBA fan. A lot happened this offseason. What was your favorite storyline for what felt like a never-ending basketball offseason?
I think probably Chris Paul going to the Rockets is something that intrigues me from a pure basketball standpoint, of how having two players like Chris and James that are so creative offensively, and just thinking about what the possibilities will be with a guy that in Mike D'Antoni that is one of the great creative offensive minds in the world, really. That probably, to me, has me most intrigued going into this season.
What about the trio in OKC? How do you think that's going to work if you had to kind of play that out over an 82-game season?
I don't know if I'm as intrigued by that as I am the Rockets. I mean, I guess interested to see how it's all going to work. And, you know, they have the opportunity to be really good, but it's not that easy just to throw everything together last minute. And so I'm just interested to see how long it takes for those guys, just because Melo coming just on the cusp of training camp, and it kind of is going to change, you know, really how they play, because he's playing a four, and so they're a little bit different, I think, with how they're going to play and be able to play, which is probably a good thing being in the West with the Warriors. But I don't even really know. You add two pieces like that, and they're both so good and so talented, and that's going to be another team to follow for sure.
We'll get you out of here on this, Kara. You have covered a number of Kentucky games. Obviously, Sacramento Kings now home for De'Aaron Fox. What do you think of him as a player?
Yeah, De'Aaron has been one of my favorite players to cover over the last few years, and certainly Kentucky's had many of them. First his speed. I mean, that is just something that when he gets the ball, no matter how many times you see it, it's just it'll take Kings fans' breath away when they see it. How fast he is end to end. How quick his hands are defensively. How good he is in terms of pressuring the ball handler and getting after it, getting in the passing lanes. He's very driven, a very driven young man that I think has a chance to be a really, really good player in this league for a long time. So, I think was a great pick for Sacramento, and a guy that has a chance to be a really good two-way player. And the thing about De'Aaron that I love is he plays with an edge, and he has an edge. He's really competitive. And he wants to be great. So, you know, those types of things are things you look for in young players when you're picking them, because you want a guy that's going to be able to be resilient and be able to handle the ups and downs of a being on a young team or being on a team that, you know, might take their lumps in the Western Conference this year. That's not going to get discouraged, and that's going to continue to push and try and get better. And so, yeah, I'm a big fan of De'Aaron Fox.
Well, Kara, congratulations again. Thank you for your time. We'll see you October 29th, and please tell Ric Flair and The Undertaker we said hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I will. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, that is Kara Lawson. She is the analyst for the Washington Wizards. Of course, she covers the NBA and college basketball for ESPN as well. We will come back. We will wrap things up with a few good things in sports. They're rare, but they're out there, and we'll share those with you next. And we are back. Hey, guess what time it is? It is time. Wow. I couldn't even mask that one over here. That was a big one. Well, for you. There it is. Time to get your UC Davis Aggies football tickets as they host North Dakota at Aggie Stadium this Saturday, 6 p.m. You're getting sick.
I hope not.
Go to UCDavisAggies.com. You're going somewhere tomorrow. Stinger's up, but you're sick, man.
Yeah, it's travel day.
Yeah, good luck with that. You're going to infect everybody on that plane.
No, that's not the plan.
I thought, Jason sounds a little weird today. Now I'm you're sneezing, you're eating soup for lunch.
Well, that was already part of the plan. That was already made.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Just a coincidence.
I didn't whip up a batch of soup.
When you realized you were getting sick? Not only is it time for UC Davis Aggies football, it's time for Sac State as well. They are going to be playing at Hornet Stadium October 14th. That's your next home game, isn't it?
Yes, correct. Yeah, you're bye next week, and then they're at home.
All right, you can go to khtk.com for info, or call us right now, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We'll get you some tickets to see the Sac State Hornets. It's rare, Jay Ross, and we have plenty of things that we kind of left out. Kara Lawson, who just joined us a few minutes ago, she was a late addition to the program. Obviously, we had Nate Lundy today. We had Dave Douglas, the producer of the John Madden Show. So we were John Madden, A Football Life, that's going to air tomorrow. We put some things on the back burner, but what we decided to save here for our final few minutes with you is the rare opportunity to talk about some good things in sports.
Yes.
Especially this week, it feels like we've been talking a lot of bad things. We've been talking a lot of political things. We've been talking a lot about take your stance things. We've said son of a bitch more times on the radio this week than I think we've said in the entire year and a half history of this program. But there are some good things in sports. And one of the good things, Jason, is Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson there in Houston donated his game check to a couple of cafeteria employees, a couple of employees who work there at the Houston Texans complex. And they had ties. Now, I'm a bit confused as if they had ties. Obviously, they're in Houston, but I'm hearing they're tied to Puerto Rico somehow. And whatever the situation is, both of those situations are really bad.
Right.
So,
and good for him.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson stepped out and did something.
Yeah.
Did something real
cool.
Did
you hear the connection to that? And I saw this online where Deshaun Watson back in 06, I think, was
the house.
Yeah, the recipient of a house from work done.
Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing. Him and his family.
Pay it forward, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pay it forward. You got one? Carson Wentz was another one.
Did he officially do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gave him his game check. There was a NFL sounds picked up on Mike Carson Wentz telling his teammates when Jake Elliott, the rookie kicker for the Philadelphia Eagles, ran out. If he kicks this, I'm gonna give him. He wasn't even goaded into it. He just said it. If he makes this, I'm gonna give him my game check.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give him my paycheck if he kicks it. Everyone's like, wait, what? What? Whoa! Wow! And 61 yards later, boom. Took his paycheck. I think what we had the number a couple of days ago when we first had the clip. I think it was 90.
It was about 90 something thousand.
90 something thousand, yeah.
You'd feel like it would be a little bit more, but still, it was a wonderful, incredible gesture. I've always thought about that on the other end, though. Would you accept that? Because that's really nice. Obviously, it's incredible. Someone's making the bet. Now it's on camera and mics. We've heard it. You got to own up to it. But if you're
I might accept it from a quarterback.
Yeah.
Because Carson Wentz is making the least amount of money that he's ever going to make for his career right now.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
So I might take Carson Wentz was two?
Yeah, he got pick seconds.
Oh yeah, I'd take it.
Oh, he'll be fine.
Oh, I take it.
Yeah. Signing bonus, all those other things. Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, I would take it. Yeah, I'd absolutely take it.
Good for him.
Yeah.
And what a moment. What a week for Elliott. I mean, he basically, Caleb Sturgis was the kicker who got hurt in week one. So they brought him on. You're just trying to, you know, not be in the way. And he makes a historically long field goal to win it. Longest kick ever at Financial Field. Mm-hmm. It's a game winner, 61-yarder. Just so many great moments for him already.
And how about Matt Cain?
That's it.
Pretty cool moment for him, too.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. The Giants got something right. Some went right. There was a positive highlight for the San Francisco Giants.
Twice. Him and Vogelsong was the other one.
Yep. So they got these retired. If they could get playing the game down,
yeah,
they'd be in good shape.
I miscalled their year. Once they addressed the bullpen, I thought, okay, they were close last year. They had the meltdown in the second half. They'll be fine. And they've just had a brutal season.
There was no way. Well, the sample size was pretty big. It was almost half a season last year.
Yeah. But I felt like that was abnormal, but apparently it's not.
But, well, going back to what you just said, though, we thought their biggest issues were they were losing games in the eighth and ninth
inning
on a far too regular basis, even headed into the playoffs. And then I can remember this like it was yesterday. They lost their first game because of the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
And we laughed thinking, wow, the whole offseason they addressed the issue and here they are dealing with it again. We thought that was just an aberration and it was
a funny
talking point. Not so much.
Yeah, and it wasn't a bullpen issue all season long, but it's just been a every inning issue. There's not good enough, which is too bad because they're not that far from being one of the baseball's best teams. But they will not certainly be in the playoffs next week, and I don't know. I don't know where the fix is for them.
So there's another good thing in sports here for this Thursday. The playoffs for Major League Baseball start next week.
Next week.
Last regular season game is Sunday?
Correct.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Now the pennant races are, I mean, is there anything interesting there?
Because there's one spot left, the National League's second wild card.
Yeah, that doesn't get my attention at all.
No, it's all pretty much decided. There's a few, it's really all decided.
Thursday night football tonight. The Bears and the Packers kick off week four. Aaron Rodgers wants the fans to interlock arms. The fans essentially told Aaron Rodgers to go to hell because you can't interlock arms. That's disrespectful.
Oh, it is?
Yes. Okay. Show respect to the troops, man. Don't interlock arms.
Okay.
Who you got tonight?
I have the Packers. Yeah, I mean, the Bears have been impressed with what they've done with their win last week and their near win of Atlanta. Both those, though, came at home. Their road game was Tampa. They were awful. Generally, I lean towards the better quarterback. It's not even close who has the better quarterback. I believe Rodgers and the Packers will win.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Which means Chicago's going to win.
Probably.
Anytime we both agree on something,
it's the other thing.
It usually goes the other way.
Most of the time.
But you can catch that game coming up at 5 o'clock. You, my friend, are out of here. Stingers up.
Yep.
Charles T. Hamilton will be with me tomorrow beginning at noon. We will see you then.